Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Did you know that most traditional creams or serums are made up of 70% water, with 15% going to emulsifiers and preservatives? That what makes up the goo of the cream, which leaves only 15% for the active ingredients that truly benefit your skin. But what if there was a better way? Enter Fiber Skincare, a groundbreaking technology set to redefine skincare. Fiber Skincare harnesses nanofibers, tiny natural fibers 500 times smaller than a human hair. Their scientists have been working on this technology for the past 15 years and just a year ago achieved a remarkable breakthrough, encapsulating active ingredients directly on these natural nanofibers. The result? A formulation free of water, emulsifiers, or preservatives, meaning the active ingredients are not just pure, but are 5 times the concentration of most creams or serums. Their first formulation is anti-wrinkle, and it's not just effective, it's fast. Upon application, your skin feels tighter in a mere 10 seconds. That's right, you can feel the difference almost instantly. But that's just the start. Over the next 7 days, these concentrated actives unfold their full potential, clinically proven to improve wrinkles by 19.4%. 19.4%. I said it again. It's worth checking out the Instagram Fiber Skin, F-I-B-E-R Skincare, to learn more about the technology and how it works. You might have seen some viral videos of the mask's disappearing effect. It's easier to apply than by wetting your face, applying the patch, and removing it. The nanofiber, which contains the active ingredients, disappears into your skin quickly. Experience the transformation for yourself with their 2-day trial pack, a precursor to the 7-day program that promises not just results, but a revolution in your skincare routine. And with their tighter skin guarantee, your satisfaction is not just expected, it's assured. If you try the 7-day program and your skin doesn't feel tighter, you'll receive a full refund, no questions asked. They have clinically tested the program to be most effective if you use it 1 week on, 3 weeks off. But we understand that everyone's skincare routine is different. That's why if you sign up for their monthly program, they will send you the monthly pack to remind you. You can pause or cancel at any time, giving you control over your skincare journey. If you want to try this revolution in skincare, go to fiberskincare.com and use code BACK for 15% off. Again, that's fiberskincare.com, code BACK for 15% off.
Baby, let's just dance, dance. Let's just dance, baby. I just wanna dance, 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 dance. Can you feel it? Can you take it? Can you come and embrace it? All of this electricity. Do it right now, right, right, right now. Turn the volume up loud. Give me your electricity.
Welcome back to the bar, bitchettes. Hello, how are you? This is bitch number one, Christy.
And bitch number two, Kelly.
Hi.
I'm eating a biscotti.
Yeah, that's because it's early.
I know, but it's too early. I have to just drink my Diet Coke.
Well, I'm
I don't
sitting
have a
here
drink.
looking at my wine and I'm like, I don't know if I wanna. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't think we should.
I'm just having Diet Coke and a
Yeah,
biscotti.
that's fine. I think it's fine. Maybe Clara's not in school today because there is no school because it's 5 degrees without the wind chill. So maybe she'll be so kind to bring me a water. I'd like a tea. Really
They
like a
said
tea.
yesterday it was a 2-hour delay. Did they change it?
Yeah. I don't know if every school district, but we sure did.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's really cold. Like, I even went in my garage and I'm like, Jesus, one of the greatest things to ever happen in my life. And I know that you had this. However, I don't think that you ever parked in your garage, but the
I
greatest thing to
know.
ever happen to me is a garage.
Yes. I had what? 7-car garage.
Yeah, yes,
I had,
Kelly.
oh, losing my clothes. I had a 7-car garage and could not park a car in there because I had so many clothes and shit
Well, you're insane.
in
You're
the
at
garage that I didn't have room in my closet for.
yeah. And not to mention in your attic, you had a pole that extended the entire length of your house with clothes on it.
I know. And my closet is like the size of a bedroom.
Yeah, you have more clothes than anyone.
I know.
Seriously.
I don't want to recap.
I know.
I hate recapping.
I know. I
And this
know.
is like the longest episode ever.
Well, let's just start off by telling everyone this will be two parts. Like,
It will be
settle
two parts because our
down.
notes for just the first part are 24 pages long.
Yes.
We cannot do one episode that's like 48 pages. That is would just be ridiculous.
Yes.
So, and especially with me reading it, we might want to
Right.
shoot ourselves by the end
No, I
of this.
like you reading better than
Oh,
me.
yeah, I'm sure you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. I don't like it.
Okay. Let's start off by thanking our patrons. These are people who went over to patreon.com/backtothebar and signed up for our super exclusive, over the top, amazing content that they get access to by subscribing to our channel. They get access to the after party, they get video content, and then they get like exclusive, never before shared things.
And some of my fuzzy pictures.
Fuzzy pictures. Fuzzy pictures. That is true. All right, so let's thank Aya, Kim, Rolando, Lauren, Audrey, Sam, Victoria, Cameron, Nancy, Yokai, Debbie, Kennedy, Courtney, Georgie, Michael, Aaron, Sophia, Logan, the finger in Kelly's face, Sydney, Julius, Kaylee, Amanda, Summer, Gabby, Hannah, Dakota, Jacob, Mayuri, Cheyenne, Val, Bridget, Dita, Hayden, MJS, Abby, Teresa, Teresa, two of them. Oh, I think she signed up twice. Mickey, Cute, Niema, Brittany, Carolyn, Destiny, Rachel, Sophia, Kai, Emily, Aiden, the OG Cheese Log. Yeah. Sarah, Melody, Sarah again, Crabby Lee Filler. That's funny. Natalie, Minty Bree, Sand. And then we have Courtney, Bernadette, Sydney, Bellamy the Bitchette, Fahen, Amia, Cindy, Amber, Jakai, Carly, Peyton, Eloise, Jackie, Eric, Kyla, Mary Beth, Hope, Lauren, Lily the Bitchette, Allison, Sarah, Alexa, Bree, Emily, Tori, Amy, Annabelle, Bethany, Bridget, Francesca, Terry, Bethany, Kate, Alexis, Lisa, Reagan, Kira, Hannah, Cody, Denali, Bailey, Wendy, Matthew, Rebecca, Tara, Kaylee, Zoe Watt, Hottie McTottie, Carolina, Kalia, or Kalila, sorry, and Abigail. Thanks, guys.
Yes. How about I could go for a cheese log?
I was just thinking, cheese logs for life. Oh, somebody
Yes.
yesterday was like, oh my God, every time you guys talk about Mohans, I think of my dad because he loved Mohans. And I'm like, that's
Oh,
funny.
really?
Yeah.
I
So I
didn't get to
think.
go. I wanted to go the last time I was there,
Oh,
and I didn't get to go.
no, you should have called me.
This was my plans. I was gonna go with you, and then we never hooked up. I was crazy. It's so
Yeah.
hard when I got there. I'm only up there for a couple of days
Yeah, you
to
want to
squeeze
obviously see
everybody
your
in.
kids, and of course. It's not like the olden days when we used to sit at Mohan's for hours on end.
Yeah, waiting for our kids. Yeah.
Oh my God. It was literally hours and hours. Do you remember when Clara was first born and I was just overwhelmed with life? And we would sit in Diane's car and you guys would like go get a snack and bring it out, or get a drink and bring it out, so I didn't have to take the baby out of the car.
Uh-huh. That's when you started really drinking Twisted Teas.
That is.
Diane and I would ever so often drink a beer. So we would go, they had like a beer thing where you could get like a six pack to go. So Diane and I would have like a beer and Christy wouldn't drink beer. So she would drink the Twisted Teas.
Get a Twisted Tea in a brown paper bag. Classy.
We are classy.
Classy. All the way classy.
Oh, wow.
So we know we're not drinking today. Sorry, guys. But you guys can drink.
Yes.
I mean, maybe after 11 o'clock, I'll pour a tiny glass of wine, but we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll say that too.
I have a long day ahead of me today, so I can't be all goofy. You're all right?
Goofy no matter what.
That's true. I can't have a headache. How's that?
Okay.
I think that's much more accurate.
Yeah.
Oh, so literally the way Kelly and my schedule is going right now is we are just trying to do some back-to-back recording because we have a ton of stuff coming up. And yeah. So we just recorded last night. Now we have to record this morning. So it's a little wild.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And in between, we had to watch an episode.
Do
we have anything else to talk about? Because this is so long.
I don't think so. I think we should just get right into it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yes.
So this is still like a continuation of yesterday's, right?
Kind of.
So the same dances.
Yeah. I mean, it's said to be continued. And then this is two parts. So yeah. It was like we were in New York for 2 days and somehow we got a bazillion episodes out of it. It's amazing how they did that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're still in New York City. There's 4 days to the competition at the rehearsal space. And Abby is wearing an orange headband. So all of you who are drinking, have a drink.
Oh, yes. Drink, drink, drink.
And she's telling us how, or she says in her interview, how she had an amazing time on The View.
Of course.
And she reminds the audience that they have to prepare for the Masters of Dance Invitational competition. This is like what you said yesterday about.
It's so hard. They're all the same.
Why not just call it like Masters of Dance? Do we need invitational competition? Like very long.
It's crazy. And I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that they actually had that on the backdrop.
Oh, really? The whole thing?
I think so. I wanted to point something else out. I think that we should all take another drink because Gianna is wearing a scarf. And if you guys don't know, which you don't know because you don't see it on camera often, but Gianna wore a scarf, a different scarf, literally every single day. So it's kind of like the Abby headband.
Oh.
You just don't see it. So
they're the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Abby saying that the ALDC is going up against Candy Apples. We have four solos and a very controversial group routine.
Okay. I have a comment. I thought about this when I was watching this morning. How many times has Abby, remember this dance was not supposed to be runaways. It was Children with Guns. Okay.
Yeah.
How many times did Abby say or pull Mackenzie out of a dance because it was too mature?
But she's allowed to be in a gun dance.
Yeah, reincarnation, too mature. Topless fan dance, fine. Guns, okay. Fine.
Yeah.
Fine. So it's really interesting. I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't know if I would take Abby's evaluation of what's appropriate for children to heart. If you're a parent, I don't know if I'd use that as my barometer.
Me either. So Abby comes into the observation room where we're all getting ready. And she lets us know that since The View took up the rehearsal time for the group, that they're going to start with everybody's solos, which I didn't think that made sense.
Right.
If it took up the group time, why are we working on solos?
We should
be working on the group.
I know.
It made no sense to me, but whatever.
Are you saying that Abby contradicted herself?
Oh my God, yes. Should we drink again?
Yes.
You guys are all going to be drunk.
Yeah, before we even get through the first
I'm on my first three lines. Yeah. We drank four times already.
Well, it's true. This is a drinky episode.
All right. So I tell Abby that, you know, I made plans for Brooke that we're going to be leaving rehearsal since my kids don't have solos, you know, and Abby's like, well, I'll let you know if you're allowed or not. Meanwhile, I already had plans.
Yeah. Yes. And I have to say you were incredibly rational. I just want to point that out.
You think?
You were like, Abby, this is what's going on. You're practicing the solos.
I was very calm, huh?
Brooke does not have a solo. Let me tell you all the reasons why this makes sense. And usually you're met with resistance and fighting, but she was actually very receptive.
Because I've been behaving myself.
No, that's not why. Because she just wanted to get rid of you.
Okay.
That's true.
So I'm like, you know, I say in my interview that I'm taking Brooke to our own solo meeting with the music producer. And, you know, I'm going to be the momager.
Mm-hmm.
And Brooke is up in the observation room with the moms. And I tell the moms my plans for her while we're in New York City. And you say how I'm the momager.
Yeah. And again, we had to get up to be on The View at like 4 a.m. And I just would like to point out that now we're filming Dance Moms After. So anybody who thinks our schedule is easy, wrong.
Yeah. So then Abby sticks her head in and she tells me that, or I guess she tells Brooke that she's allowed to go because during rehearsal, it's just like a small part in her, like the group is just a small part. It's something that she's done before. So allowing her to go.
Just like every other dance.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Which is every solo, every everything. So she looks at Brooke and she smiles like and says, good luck, break a leg. Then she says in her interview that, you know, Brooke's going off to work with a music producer. This is a joke. Kelly insists on doing this. I don't know. And frankly, I really don't care anymore. If Brooke wants to do this, more power to you, sweetheart.
She's so nasty.
Yeah.
She's literally so, that is so unnecessary to say it's a joke. I don't know why you insist on doing this. I don't care anymore. Is it because she's not getting 10%? I'm thinking that's why.
Absolutely. I told you, she was all for Brooke singing until I said no. She was not allowed to be my manager. And then she was like completely negative about it. So then, she, you know, she tells Brooke to break a leg, but then she sticks her head out again. And then it's like, you know, not embarrass her or whatever by not being able to speak correctly, basically, is what she was saying.
But, okay, how is Abby involved that Brooke might embarrass her? What am I missing?
I have no idea.
Okay, just checking.
But how about Holly? She's like, well, that was a real good pep talk.
Uh-huh, Holly's funny.
Yeah. So Melissa's just like joking and she says, just be your perky self, then we leave. But they don't really show us leaving. We're just not there for the next scene.
Yeah. It's funny how we have to always walk in and out a million times and it's very rarely ever used.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just like I just disappeared.
Yeah. Well, so, I wish I could disappear.
Yeah. So then we're in Chloe's rehearsal and her solo is My Obsession. And she says in her interview that her solo is kind of contemporary jazz. And it's about finding her obsession. And Abby asks her, what is your obsession? And Chloe's like, dancing, trying my hardest and never giving up, which I thought was cute.
Yeah. And Abby's laughing at her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But did you notice Chloe really got in there and picked a wedgie?
No.
Yeah.
You go, Chloe.
Yeah. She really got in there too. I was like, wow, that was a big one.
I think there's a scene of every single girl picking out a wedgie.
Of course. They're wearing shorts that go up their ass.
With no underwear on national
television.
Uh-huh.
But I was cracking up at like Chloe was really trying to pick that wedgie. But Abby's laughing at her because she's, you know, just super kind.
Yeah.
Just so you know, I sent you a quick text that you need to know about this episode. I can jump in and say when we need to do that, but I emailed it to you.
Okay.
It's the exact same thing.
I'll have to see if I can find that. Okay. So you asked Christy Ray how she felt about how everything panned out at The View. Mm-hmm. And she said she thought everything went good.
Mm-hmm.
Christy's answer was because she had previously said she goes from, That makes no sense.
I think I was surprised because she had told us before, and this was not on the show, that she's the first to go from 0 to 60. But then she was super calm at The View. So I think that was kind of the point, but it didn't really make sense.
Do you think that she didn't go 0 to 60 because she kind of knew about how it was going to turn out too?
She says that later. And she's like, I'd be more fiery if I didn't read it before it came.
You're like glad she's honest.
I said, all right, that's honest. I said this
nice to hear somebody be honest.
Exactly. I said this to you off camera and I wholeheartedly mean this. I really look back on Christy now with hindsight, because I think in the moment we're always just so like, oh, when there's a new person. I think that you and I could have really befriended her because she was calling Melissa out on shit the same way we were. But it just, because Asia was there, obviously, like you said, to go up against Mackenzie. And Melissa had never been put in a position where her children were anything less than the favorites. And so it would have been nice to have somebody else that was saying the same things and not just us. But somehow I end up fighting with this woman.
Well, because so Melissa, but Melissa wouldn't fight with her. So it ended up being us fighting with her.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to sit there and be like, are you kidding? Like, I have to fight with another person.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But so Jill says that, you know, she knew, everybody knew that Mackenzie would be the one doing the dance. And Christy Rae looks at her and, like, she's surprised at what Jill says, which I don't know why she was so surprised. And you look at Christy Rae and you say, do you feel like a pawn? That would make me mad.
I think I'm trying to stir the pot. I'm just saying, just a guess. It's just a guess.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, because you were told to.
Right.
Because nobody else was.
I know. Yeah. I was being kind of facetious.
But so then Christy Rae says that she's over the charade. She says that Age is mature enough to understand that this is like an audition. And Age has done enough auditions to be unaffected by the undesirable outcome.
Okay. I think that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. In her interview, she said that Christy Rae says that the moms treated her and Asia like outsiders and she's not intimidated.
Now, I disagree with that because she said everyone was thrilled that Mackenzie got to dance. I'm going to tell you, I think Mackenzie should have danced because she was in the original number. But honestly, I didn't care who danced.
I could have cared less either.
And so it was funny that she's like, oh, the moms treated us like outsiders or whatever. Like, I didn't care who danced.
I don't think one time yet I've said anything to Christy, right? If anything, I've supported her.
I don't know. Whatever. Yeah.
You say that. I think it was in last episode.
Yeah.
You were supporting her.
Yeah. So now we go to the recording studio and we see Brooke and we meet Wally, who is one of the music producers. And this is actually in his house.
Oh, really? Where? Yeah. It wasn't in New York. Was it in Jersey or was it New York?
This was in New York. It was like a staged thing. Brooke did not record there. We recorded.
Oh, in his house in LA. I remember
in
that.
LA. We recorded. That's where she recorded her album, was in somebody's basement.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, I remember because
Lifetime was really
fancy. They wanted to spend that money?
Yeah, we were fancy. We had to do it in the basement.
Yeah, I remember sitting out. We sat outside in the car for hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember you guys out there.
I thought you were out there with us. Oh, you were inside when she was recording. Yeah. Yeah, we were outside in the car for hours and Brian's parents were there and they were like, I was talking to his mom for like 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. So I'm in my interview saying that I'm going to take control of my daughter's careers. I'm going to do things to get them ahead. If Abby won't do it, then I'm going to, which, you know, it's so embarrassing that they made me say that, because if I was doing it,
that wouldn't have been what you
did. It would not have been this way, and it would not have been the songs that they chose.
Of course.
And every single thing about it would have been different, but obviously we didn't have a choice.
Well, Kelly, just like I would have never in a million years let Chloe dance around in a meat suit, but I had to be like, this is her job.
Yeah.
She's doing it. I hated the stuff that made us look stupid.
Yeah. So Wally tells Brooke that, you know, her summer long love song did very good and she got, you know, like 25,000 downloads or whatever. And Brooke says that she's surprised at how many people enjoyed her singing because she's only ever had a few dance lessons. And Wally's like, you know, your hard work paid off. I'm excited for you. And Wally brings in a guest to meet Brooke, and her name is Melody Thornton. She is a former Pussycat Doll.
She seemed sweet. Was she nice in real life?
Yeah. Yeah.
She seemed nice.
Yeah. So her and Brooke start singing Summer Love song together. And Brooke says in her interview that she's listened to the Pussycat Dolls before and can't believe that one of them is standing in front of her and wants to sing with her. So Melody says that she feels like when she's in a recording studio, she feels like people are going to judge her. And she's like, you know, what if my voice cracks or whatever? She's just explaining to Brooke how it's nerve-wracking being in a studio. Mm-hmm. Brooke says that she's concerned because she's not like technically
a
trained singer. You sure. know, like she's had two voice lessons.
Was she really nervous?
Brooke?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would think that was super, super scary.
Yeah.
There was I did this thing once. It was for Frozen 2. I got invited to like the Disney Studios in Burbank, and we got to like meet an animator and do all this behind the scenes stuff. Well, one of the things that they let us do was we got to go into the sound booth and record a song, like where they record all the voiceovers and the songs. And they're like, okay, up next is Christy. You want to sing? I'm like, I am not singing. Are you out of your fucking mind? And they're like, no, no, it's fine. I'm like, no, no, I'm tone deaf. Like, I yeah. will not be singing. So I can imagine what it was like.
I would have loved to have heard that.
Oh my God. I would never, ever in a million years do that. That's so humiliating. I can't even come close to singing.
That's funny.
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm going to pass on that. Thank you.
Yeah. I think that Brooke was so nervous because of the way it happened. Like, we literally went into the recording studio to record her stuff, and they were like, here, and handed her the lyrics to a song. She never saw them before, never read them, never heard the
melody. And then they said, record it?
And she recorded it. She recorded every single song on her album within 3 hours in one day.
That seems insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. She was literally reading it as she was recording it. But then I say in my interview that Brooke might be at a standstill with dance since Abby no longer gives her any credit. Abby has put all of her eggs in one basket with Maddie. Mm-hmm. And you think that Brooke wants to venture out and do some singing. They're practicing Summer Love song, and she's giving Brooke some, you know, pointers on singing. Like when she's breathing, she should imagine that she has to pee.
I missed that. That's funny. But why? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Weird. Didn't ask. She was probably just like, okay, I'm going to think I have to pee.
Yeah. Or she's like, hi, I'm 14 or 15 on national television. I don't want to talk about urination.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just guessing.
So then we go back to the ALDC rehearsal, and Asia's doing her solo, the robot. And for some reason, Christy Ray is the only mom who didn't sit in during solo rehearsals this week.
No, she's the only one who was allowed.
Why was she in there?
Well, because she's allowed. The rest of us aren't.
Mm, okay. So Abby says in her interview that Asia has an amazing solo this week, and it's going to be hard to keep her a little stiff, but she's going to try. I'm assuming because she's a robot, so she has to be stiff.
Yeah, and watching Asia rehearse, that little girl is freaking good.
Oh, she's crazy, yeah.
She's so good, and she's 7. No wonder why Melissa was, like,
panicking. You know, panicking. Yes.
Like, she's really good. I mean, I think Mackenzie's very good, too. I really do, but Asia's, like, another level.
Yeah, she's great. Mm-hmm. She was great. Holly's wondering why Christy Ray gets to sit in the room for Asia's solo, and you say, you know, it's because she's special. Yeah, everybody's special that's a newcomer.
Right. But I'm like, Holly, stop saying it out loud, because I don't want to go in there. Like, my kid has a solo. I don't want to be in the room. Shh,
yeah. But then talking. You're like, you know, you're telling Holly that Christy Ray is special, but then you're like, but not as special as Melissa, because Kenzie still got chosen to do the dance on the VO.
Yeah. Why am I such a bitch?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But Holly says She knew that Mackenzie would perform on The View too when she got there, and she was in costume. And like you said yesterday, she had the blood on her face. So, Holly's wearing fur. Have a drink. Oh,
drink. It's that other fur, that wild fur vest I was talking about.
Uh-huh. So Holly says that there's no way Abby was ever going to pull Mackenzie or Maddie from a dance like that.
No way.
You know, it was on national television on The View. There's no way. She just loves those girls too much.
Absolutely.
And you say that Melissa should be thrilled because this means Maddie and Mackenzie are still at the top of Abby's mental pyramid.
I thought that was funny.
Melissa insists that Abby invited Asia to be on the team since she wins. She says that Asia and Mackenzie are just two different kinds of dancers.
Yeah, which totally. They
are. And Holly says, you know, that Asia's talented, but all the girls are just as talented. They're just all talented in different ways, you know? So Jill says that she's glad that Mackenzie got to dance on The View. And she says, nothing against Asia, trust me. She's going to have a million special parts and things coming up.
Yeah, her own show.
Exactly.
She was here to get her own show.
Yeah. I wonder if she knew she had a show before she came on.
Well,
because she wasn't on that long, was she?
No, but she was on Abby's Ultimate.
I know. So when I wonder if they knew she had a show when she was on Abby's Ultimate, they wanted to give her a show. So they were kind of promoting her.
Yeah, I mean, Moms. I think yes. There's an interview somewhere we saw that Asia said no, but it takes a really long time to get a show greenlit like that. And they were filming like right after we wrapped Dance Moms in the summer, they were already filming Raising Asia. So I would think that was definitely something that was in the works before she came on Dance Moms.
Yeah. Well, Jill says that she knows that Christy Ray is here for a purpose and it's not to make friends.
Yeah.
And Holly's, you know, agrees with her. She says, no, this is definitely business for her. And it wasn't for Asia to dance with the other girls either. It was for Abby to make Asia a star, which is what right. We were just saying.
Because I'm almost sure that Abby was a producer on the Raising Asia show because... And I don't know. I have no idea if this is real. This is just my speculation. I'm pretty sure Abby was an executive producer on her AUDC show. And then I think what happens if you're an executive producer, you have it like written into your contract that if there's a spinoff from that, you're an executive producer, where Abby was not an executive producer on Dance Moms. So if one of our kids had gotten a show, Abby wouldn't have had a piece of it.
Okay.
That's my theory. I have no idea if that's right. I'm not saying that it is. I'm just speculating, but that seems to make sense to me.
Okay. So you say, you know, just like the rest of the moms, that Christy Ray is here for her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You also say that her behavior is intended to hide the fact that she's a worse stage mom than the rest of us.
I mean, honestly, I don't know how anybody's worse and one is worse than the other. You know what I mean? At this point, we're all pretty safe.
But she acts so like she's not a stage mom.
Yeah.
I think that's what you meant. Like she's just trying to hide that she's not really a stage mom.
Exactly. Exactly.
But as we're in there talking, Christy Ray is in the dance room watching Asia solo. And she says in her interview, even though I'm not in the room, I can still hear what the moms are saying about me and Asia. And she's like, really? Are we really in high school?
I mean, I didn't say anything that I wouldn't have said to her.
And that's what you say in your interview. You're like, I'm not saying that I don't like the woman. I'm just saying that she's a hardcore stage mom. And I don't think she would take that as an insult.
I don't.
I don't think any of us takes that as an insult. We are.
We're cannot be moms. On yeah. a show called Dance Moms and not think you're a stage mom.
Yeah. So now we have 3 days to competition and we're doing the group rehearsal. And Abby's talking to the girls about the routine. She says it needs to make people feel something. And if you're not feeling it, they're not going to feel it. And she singles out Maddie saying that judges need to be in tears because the girls made them feel something, especially because they don't know who has experienced this in real life. And Abby says in her interview that lots of privileged children run away from home. It's a problem in society today. If she can portray this as an artistic and respectable way, she wants to make the judges see, feel, and learn something.
I want to look at something. I'm going to look something up because I want to theorize something, but I need to look on my computer. So you keep going. I'm going to Google something.
Okay. So you ask the moms if they think that Kathy is a threat now that she has her new team. And I'm like, I don't think Kathy is a threat. I think the boys are a threat.
You're hysterical.
But Kathy isn't a threat. They aren't Kathy's students, and Kathy didn't do the choreography. So how can Kathy be a threat? Kathy's just there along for the ride, basically, on this, right?
Yeah. Okay, wait. Here's what I'm going to say. So this dance, oh my God, this is just so unbelievably insensitive. So the dance was originally Children with Guns, right?
Okay.
We were on our way to the airport to go to... We were doing Dance Moms. We were on our way to the airport competing. And I remember the kids were in the car. I think I was with you. And they heard about the Newtown shooting, the first graders. That was in December. We did this episode in February. So it was like 3 months later, they were trying to do Children with Guns. Like, that's so awful.
Wrong, yeah.
And I think that that's why when you see us, like, I mean, when we're sitting out there, I'm like, this is just wrong. And that's when Christy's like, it's acting. And I'm like, it's not acting. Like, this is really insensitive. I thought it was right after, and it was.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, but kudos to them for changing it. At least they didn't air it that way.
Now, how did we not have the guns, though?
I think that that was too much. I think that we never held a gun. I think, like, it was just like a... Because if you listen to it, it's all the news recordings. I don't know what they show. I haven't seen the dance part yet. But it was news recordings about Children with Guns, Children with Guns. And then at the end, I think when Chloe shoots Maddie, it's just like a motion. You know, Chloe got in trouble for doing rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, but go ahead.
But she's allowed to shoot her.
Yeah, go ahead. That's fine. That's fine. And Mackenzie, this dance isn't too mature for you. So you're fine there too.
Yeah. Okay, so Jill agrees that Kathy's team is a threat. But she isn't emphasizing that they can beat the ALDC. She thinks they could beat the ALDC when Kathy isn't the choreographer.
Jill's so funny.
Uh-huh.
She had to make sure that Kathy got no credit, as long as Kathy's not the choreographer.
Yeah. So you and Christy Ray point out that the perfect score routine wouldn't have been the same if they didn't have Jalen on the team at that time.
No, if they did have him on the team, because all he did was slide.
But that's what I said that day.
Yeah, when you fought with his dad.
Yeah, I was like, all your kids, like, he can't do the turns and stuff. So, which made me sound like so bitchy, but I'm glad I'm glad you and Christy Ray backed me up on that. Because it was true. I mean, he was an amazing little kid, but
he could only
do the hip hop part or whatever.
Yeah, but I think that Christy knew him from California from things as well.
Oh, okay.
I think. Okay.
So we're watching the girls rehearse, and Jill notices that Asia will be portraying a bad character in the routine. And Christy Ray says, you know, it doesn't bother her. It's a role, and Asia's just acting. But you point out that it's, you know, a sensitive topic.
Yeah, because of exactly what I just said.
So Christy Ray says, I don't think that way. If Asia walks or Abby kicks her out, then that's on her. My kid has a voice and she can speak for herself.
That just goes to show that, like, Asia was in a position where she could speak up, where our kids were terrified. And our kids look terrified. When Abby calls them out on the ice skating, just watch them. They're all like,
I know.
They're like, my mom made me do it.
Uh-huh.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Nothing gives me negative confidence like wearing the perfect outfit. You know, when you walk into a place and you just feel confident because you have, like, you know you look good.
Yeah. Yeah. You used to say that all the time about costumes. You're like, oh, it's like wearing the best outfit.
Yeah.
I agree. But a very close second would be Lumi whole body deodorant. Because unlike certain other deodorants, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet. And yes, Kelly, even your privates. Because in fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Flash forward 6 years and her game-changing whole body deo has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me who love feeling confident from head to toe. So we have a special offer. New customers get $5 off Lumi Starter Pack with code BAR at LumiDeodorant.com. Now, I can tell you when I was in New Orleans renovating my house, it is hot in New Orleans. And I love Lumi because it helped to keep all of my parts smelling fabulous, if not inoffensive.
I think my favorite is the body wash.
Yeah, it's great. It's
great. So cute here. Like, I just feel like that my whole body is covered.
I would agree with that. I would agree. So whole body deodorant, Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. You can use it on your pits, your under boobs, your thigh folds, your belly buttons, your butt crack, your personal vaginal areas, we'll say, and your feet.
It's created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated.
It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. Because unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask with fragrance, Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts, more like a pre-odorant.
It's baking soda free and paraben free.
It's pH balanced for safe use below the belt.
Choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, and toasted coconut.
So Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like a mini body wash, like you said, and deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer to our listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter kit with code BARRE, that's BAR, at LumiDeodorant.com. That's equivalent to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use the code BAR, BARRE.
You guys are going to love it.
So you bring up that Asia is only 7 and Christy Ray says that, you know, Asia hasn't cried yet about the shit that's going on. And you disagree that Asia hasn't cried. You say that she's cried twice about a dance. Since coming to us, she's danced twice or cried twice. One of those times was during Nia.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but I think the other one was definitely the Jill in the bathroom with the puppy. Because I'm almost sure that Christy and Jill start screaming about the puppy. It just isn't shown. because I remember Chrissy being like, the puppy. And I'm just like, okay, the puppy. I'm dead over the puppy, just so we're all clear.
Uh-huh. So you say that apparently with Chrissy, you can take away her daughter's role in a dance on a national television show, but you can't dare say that she cries.
Oh, that's kind of funny.
Jill and Holly agree with you and say that Asia did cry after the duet. And Jill, you know, accuses Chrissy Rae of lying about the reason why she was crying. And, you know, she says that she was crying because she was sad for Nia. And Jill's like, she was crying. Just face it. Don't sugarcoat it. I don't understand why she thought that it was so wrong for a seven-year-old to cry.
I don't know. Maybe she went to the Abby Lee Miller School of Parenting.
Yeah, save tears for your pillow, I guess. Yeah, I guess. She probably heard that on the show before she got here.
And was like, oh, we can't cry. That's too terrible.
Chrissy Rae says, you know, don't put me in the same boat as you. And Jill's like, you know, Kendall wears her heart on her sleeve. She doesn't have to go to the bathroom and cry. She and pretend she doesn't, which I think is perfectly fine.
Right.
Jill says that Chrissy Rae may have said that Asia has a hard shell, but she still does cry. And Chrissy Rae is still denying it. Then she starts getting more and more annoyed with Jill.
So when she said, give up, you're not getting to me.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm not going to give up because I was there.
Hysterical.
So you point out that Chrissy Rae is starting to raise her voice. Again, Jill was really on this.
Well, she's because wrong. Jill was dead over the puppy and the raisin and the bathroom tears.
And I think because Abby always says that Kendall's the crybaby. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why she was so on the crying.
Maybe. But
yeah, because she says again, Chrissy Rae was wrong in saying that Asia never cries. Chrissy Rae says she isn't saying that she never cries. She's just strong enough to handle like the team and Abby's hard training. And Jill's like, okay, well, she didn't handle it the other night. You know, it starts getting heated now. And Chrissy Rae is like, get it straight and don't get it twisted. And Jill's like, it's not twisted. And she's like, get your facts right, Jill. I don't mind if my kid cries. She's seven. She can cry all fucking day if she wants. So fucking what? Who cares? Now, Wig yelled at for saying that word. But then we see Abby, you know, looking into their observation room, and she's like licking her lips and looking at Asia. Melissa and Jill are like pointing to Asia Rae. They're like, it's her.
Jill's going like this. It's her. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yep. So then we go to Candy Apples, and we're in their group rehearsal. Kathy says that the group is based on the Day of the Dead, which is celebration of death. And Lennon's mom interrupts the rehearsal to show that Lennon got a text from Brooke.
Yeah, I have a question. Did Brooke really text?
I have no idea.
Okay, so what I was going to say is I know that they probably said Brooke text them because there had to be a reason that, you know, Candy Apples was showing up. But I don't think it would have been weird if Brooke would have had like the other teenagers' numbers to text them from Candy Apples, because they were her age and everybody else on our team was little.
Yeah. And I mean, they were friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it didn't show on the show that we communicated at all, but I mean, right. They did talk.
Right.
You know,
I think the kids were always happy when Candy Apples was there, because those were other kids that they could hang out with.
Yeah. So, you know, Lennon gets the text and Kathy says, what, are you giving Brooke the game book? Wait, is this better than The View? Kathy's hysterical.
She is hysterical.
So Kathy reads Brooke's text out loud. It says, are you guys in New York? We're going ice skating at a place called Bryant Park. Now, that's something Brooke would not say.
No, a place called Bryant Park.
Yeah, Brooke would be like, you know, we're going ice skating. Do you guys want to go?
Right.
And then if they would have said, you know, we want to come, she would have said where we were going.
Right, right.
But so Anthony suggests crashing our ice skating event. And Kathy likes the idea. And she wonders who would take their students ice skating and taking the risk of getting injured. But Abby wasn't taking us, of course. Right. That would be too much fun.
Right.
This was funny. Kathy says, if Abby has ice skates on, it could be Fantasia too.
That was funny.
Okay, so we have 2 days to the competition, and God forbid we are at an ice skating rink.
Oh my God, there's fun to be had.
Oh my goodness. So we're all there, and Melissa says, I don't think this is the best thing to do before a dance competition because Abby's going to freak out when she finds out. And Jill starts handing out the ice skates, and Maddie's very hesitant. So Melissa looks at her and says, you know, put the ice skates on.
It was hysterical. The next thing she said.
Go ahead.
No, you want me to read it or you can read it because it's pretty funny. I am your mother. Put your skates on. Do you know what this is about, Maddie? It's about fun. Have fun. Stop crying.
Maddie's sitting there crying. But, you know, I feel so bad for Maddie in this situation because, and I can't decide, and I'm a bitch in a couple minutes. And
Well, I'm a bitch too. In my interview, I'm like, she just doesn't want to do it because she can't skate. And you say the same thing.
What I meant to say on that was Maddie is a perfectionist.
Right. If
Maddie is not perfect at something, she doesn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't the best skater, so that's why she didn't want to do it. It wasn't like Maddie didn't want to skate. Personally, I think Maddie didn't want to skate because she knew Abby was going to get pissed off.
Probably.
And I think the producers told Christy Ray, do not have Asia skate because then she could make the whole Asia's the star thing and everybody else do the things. So they probably told Melissa, Maddie had to skate because Melissa probably would have been like, absolutely not. Maddie's not skating.
Right.
I don't know if any of that's true. That's just.
No, that all tracks. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're in your interview and you say Maddie didn't want to ice skate because she needs to be the best at everything she does. And clearly she's not an Olympic gold medalist in figure skating. So she doesn't want to skate.
What a bitch.
That's Maddie. Maddie's a perfectionist. Yeah. Right. It's not, I don't think we're trying to say something negative. It's just, that's how Maddie is.
Right.
So Christy Ray and Asia are standing off to the side and Kendall asks Asia why she isn't skating. And Christy Ray says it's so that Asia doesn't get hurt. Mm-hmm. And Asia, asks if she could put her ice skates on and just stand with the rest of the kids. Mm-hmm. Christy Ray is like, I'm not playing their game. I'm not playing their fucking game. You're not skating. Maybe the F word.
Maybe the producers didn't tell her to say it. Maybe she's like, absolutely not. I'm not doing it. She does like the F word. Again, another reason why we should have been friends with Christy.
Yeah. So Maddie asks Asia why she's not skating and Asia doesn't seem to know. So Christy Ray is like, Asia, you know why. Jill gets frustrated because she said that Asia used to be a figure skater.
She was.
Is that true? Was she? I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's funny. So Asia probably really wanted to skate.
Oh, man. Ooh, that would have been a little, instead of Mackenzie, that would have really upset Maddie.
Yeah. So Asia starts crying because her mom won't let her skate. And Melissa says in her interview, I don't know why it is so important for Christy Ray to tell us that Asia never cries. Here's some tears now from Asia. I thought she didn't cry.
That's kind of bitchy.
Yes. Melissa offers to hold Maddie's hand, but Maddie insists that she doesn't want to skate. She doesn't know how to skate. Kathy and her team arrive. Kathy comes over and I'm like, oh, I think it's official. Kathy is definitely a stalker.
That was funny.
Yes, I definitely think she is a stalker. She shows up everywhere. Not only does she find us at dance competitions, but now she's finding us at our recreational activities. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, they made it out like Brooke sent them there.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why I had to say that in my interview. So Kathy asks us about Abby and I'm like, oh my God, do you want us to put a hole in the ice? I'm so mean.
I thought it was funny what you said later about Abby, but whatever. I mean, we always went for the low-hanging fat jokes, okay?
Yes, we are mean.
We are mean.
So Kathy's like, I thought for sure this was going to be Abby on the ice, and I laugh, and she's like, oh my God, no. Oh my God, no. And Kathy introduces everybody to her new student, Veronica, and she insists on saying she's from Studio Larkin. And you ask Victoria if she's on Kathy's team. And she lets you know that she auditioned. Mm-hmm. And again, Kathy tells us in our interview that Victoria is from Studio Larkin and that Studio Larkin's has a fabulous reputation. And she says that they came to ice skate with the ALDC.
Yay.
Yes.
We're and so I'm lucky.
I'm like, I think it's about time that these kids just go and have fun.
And be kids.
Yes. They need to be kids for once. And I totally agree with that. I mean, how hard would it be? I mean, we were there for an entire week already doing nothing but work to take an hour out and ice skate.
Yeah.
But it didn't even get to be fun because it was like.
No, they got punished for it.
Yeah. And they had to have it filmed and, you know, whatever. So Melissa says to me, here, we have to hold hands. And I'm like, I'm not holding your hand. You're going to pull me down.
Yeah. This was such a fun scene of all of us skating.
Okay. No, I was so obnoxious. All I heard was my mouth screaming.
Oh, don't worry. Later when we do the New York trip, all you hear is my mouth is so,
yeah, both of us. I don't know what we were doing.
Drinking.
Obviously. Yes. We're all ice skating, and Lennon and Brooke are ice skating together. Kathy shows, she's just watching from, you know, behind. And Jill is like, look at me, Chloe. I can turn like you.
I thought that was cute.
Yeah. And Maddie's skating along the wall for a while. And then her, Mackenzie, Melissa, and Nia all hold hands and are skating. Mm-hmm. And Melissa says in her interview, Maddie's freaking out because the kids aren't allowed to ice skate. Maddie doesn't want anybody to get hurt or in trouble.
But then Melissa's like, sorry, Maddie, Princess Maddie, Your Highness Maddie.
Yeah, I was surprised that that was Melissa saying that. I actually rewinded that to see if it was me. I thought it was going to be me or you saying it.
Yeah, no, Melissa was being mean. I was like, wow.
Yeah, because I was like... And how about how funny it was that when we're all ice skating, we're ice skating to Summer Love Song.
I thought that was cute.
Spin the record round and round. Oh, and now we're back at the ALDC rehearsal. We have one day at a competition, and Abby is wearing a green headband.
Drink. Kelly, should we take a moment and thank one of our sponsors?
Yes.
Let's do that. All right. Let's take a moment. And I am going to talk a little bit about the new year and how I wanted to start the new year off with a single solution that helps to support my entire body. Instead of just taking a bunch of supplements, I wanted to give AG1 a try because I wanted energy and I wanted something that was simple. So since drinking AG1 daily, I have felt completely more energized. I feel strong. I feel nourished. It's amazing how much better you feel when you're nourished. And not only does AG1 deliver my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more, but it's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day.
So I notice now that I'm aging that I have such a hard time doing the things I used to do. Like just even like doing my garage. I'm cleaning out my garage right now. I used to be able to do it and have the whole thing done in one day. Now it's like, I could go, it takes me a whole week and I'm exhausted.
Yep, absolutely. So AG1 is the supplement I trust to provide the support my body needs daily. And that's why we are excited to welcome them as a new partner. If you want to take ownership of your health this year, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/bar. That's drinkag1.com/bar. Check it out. So, want to get back to this episode?
Yes, we have one day in a competition and we are working on our group rehearsal and the moms are talking about Studio Larkin and how good they are and how Abby would react if she knew that Kathy had a student coming from there. Abby calls the moms in and so we could speak about, you know, the competition, and she wants the group routine to be impactful. Like, where have all the children gone, or the last text? But the girls aren't accomplishing that with this dance.
Right.
She said, maybe yesterday we could have gone and taken an acting class instead of going ice skating.
And that's when all of the girls simultaneously peed their pants.
Yeah.
They peed. And then that's when I noticed that I was wearing the most god-awful mom jeans yet.
I didn't notice them.
I did. But you got a quick shot and I was like, wah.
You and them mom jeans.
But look, I'm wearing jeans right now. They're not mom jeans.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. So Abby in our interview says that the ALD contract prohibits skating in order to protect the individual students, the group, and the choreography and all the money that goes into doing a competition. When somebody gets hurt, everybody else pays for it. Like, come on. Her and her damn contract.
Oh, my God. If you guys had seen the contract, you'd die. Like, you're not allowed to open candy during a theater performance. You're not allowed to ice skate. I don't think roller skate. God, you weren't allowed to ski. I get skiing. You weren't allowed to ride a bike. Remember, yeah. You weren't allowed to do anything but dance. You weren't allowed to ride a bicycle. It was wild.
But yet you could do like a roundup back tuck and like for your mm-hmm. first time and like fall and break a leg doing that.
Or a foot on a concrete.
Yeah. Yeah. But Abby reminds everybody that we'll be competing against Kathy, and her team received a perfect score last time when we went head to head. Abby tells us, you know, she put us on national television doing a routine. Do not embarrass her with Kathy. Do not embarrass her in New York.
Do not embarrass me. But yet she wants nothing to do with them, but then they're not allowed to embarrass her. I mean, what are these kids embarrassing her doing? Breathing?
I have no idea. But now we go to the Candy Apples rehearsal and the kids are rehearsing and Kathy's, you know, giving them corrections. And she says, today is about nitpicking. Anthony's going to get fired up today because this number has so much potential.
Mm-hmm.
So Anthony says under his breath, it's the love that's making us feel this way.
I don't understand.
I didn't understand that either. But the kids are rehearsing. And at one point, Anthony claps at Victoria while he's giving her a correction. And Kathy's like, Victoria is pretty well-rounded dancer. She takes corrections well. You know, him giving her corrections, it isn't bothering her.
Yeah.
Because he's so mean.
And I think Kathy really hates him. And he's mean. He is mean. And he's going to fight with Kathy in a minute.
He fights with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's very sure of himself.
Yes. Arrogant is another word.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now we go to the LDC rehearsal. Asia's doing her solo. And while she's doing her solo, Abby makes the rest of the girls do 100 push-ups.
Let me just say, if Abby tried to make me do 100 push-ups, I wouldn't be able to do it.
No, I probably couldn't do three.
Yeah, I can't do it. I could maybe do like 3 girl push-ups.
Yeah.
I hate that they're called that, but you know what I mean? Like, I can't do a full push-up.
Yeah. Abby says, you know, Asia doesn't have to do the push-ups because she didn't ice skate. And the rest of the girls are selfish and we're naive.
Yes.
And we put the whole group in jeopardy.
We are selfish.
She's like, every single one of those girls could have said no. Asia chose not to. Well, Abby wasn't there. Asia did not chose not to. Her mother chose not to. Now, was it her mom's choice or her choice? Who cares? All I know is that Asia did not put the skates on and she did not risk an injury and did not sabotage my team.
Thank God.
Yes.
Thank God.
So upstairs in the observation room, Jill's disappointed that Abby punished the girls. Then she says, but she's glad that they had fun anyways. Holly agrees with Jill and she's like, you know, sometimes kids just need to be kids and enjoy their childhood.
Yeah. God forbid.
Then you see Paige. She's taking off her arm weights.
They do push-ups.
They do our push-ups for kids.
It's so insane.
Her little noodle arms.
Her noodle arms. And then the other thing that's hysterical is that the knee pads are killing me.
Uh-huh.
It's a knee pad kind of day.
Uh-huh. So I'm in my interview, a bitchy again. And I'm like, Abby, what did you do while the kids were ice skating? Did you maybe go to dinner?
I thought that was kind of funny.
Then I'm like, maybe you should do the sit-ups and push-ups.
I thought that was kind of funny.
God. Okay. So Chrissy Ray stands behind her decision that she didn't let Asia ice skate. And since it was 2 days before competition, she didn't want to risk the injury, whatever. She's so perfect.
Yeah, but that's not what she said the day before. She just said Asia's not skate. I mean, yes. Okay, wait. She did.
Yeah.
She did. Sorry. Much, she did. Yeah. Okay.
Especially because Asia was an ice skater.
Right. She did say that.
If anybody shouldn't have been on skates, it probably should have been me. I was a maniac.
But nobody gives a shit. Abby would have been thrilled if you would have been like taken out incapacitated.
Yes, yes. So Christy Ray says, you want to take that choice. I don't as a mother. My daughter's a dancer. And you're like, why are you getting so bent out of shape? Nobody asked you. And Christy's eyes get really wide and she raises her voice and she tells you.
Look at me when I'm talking to you. Look at me when I'm talking to you.
You look at Christy and are like, well, then don't talk to us. Nobody asked you. I don't understand how got to be such a big argument because you weren't looking at her.
I don't know. And then she's like, you were on your phone.
Yeah. Like you were on, she's telling you to quit looking at your phone and kind of reminded me of my fight with Abby, with me saying, get your finger out of my face.
Yeah.
And she's like, look at me when I'm talking to you.
Get off my phone.
Yeah. I was like,
look at me. And I was like, don't tell me what to do. Like, I don't want to look at you. And then she's like, it's disrespectful that you look away and you're making faces. And this is something I hate is when anybody comes in and they're like, they get to make this judgment call on us. They're like, you guys are miserable and you don't appreciate anything. No, we've been really put through it like the last 2 years. So don't say that. And Jill's like, we're not miserable. Our kids are happy. Meanwhile, our kids are miserable.
Oh, yes. They're definitely miserable.
Yeah.
You know, I was missing a page.
Oh, well, yeah, you had said that at the beginning. Well, this is just our fight. She's telling us we're complaining.
Telling you to settle down.
No, I tell her to settle down.
Yeah. Then you're like, I'm looking at you in your eye, bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And she's like, bitch, let's go.
And she jumps up.
Yeah. And you're like, I'm not that way.
No, I will be later. Don't worry. To come New Orleans, I'm totally that way.
And she's like, exactly. So don't call me a bitch if you can't back it up. And you're like, set yourself down.
Yeah, it got really escalated.
Yeah, and I don't understand why.
Nope.
Am I missing anything else? Because that's the end I have of their fight.
No, she's like, don't call me a bitch if you can't back it up. And I said, I can back it up, but I don't fight like that. And she's like, then don't use that those words towards me. And then you in your interview go, I think Christy's going to knock the other Christy out. And she goes, stay away. I don't fight. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Yeah. And then she keeps telling me to watch my tongue. She's sticking her finger in my face. And then Abby in the studio, if somebody said something, she goes, no, I love Christy Ray. I hope she slaps Christy in the face.
Which is so rude.
She's beyond rude. Chloe's upset, obviously. She tells me to stop. And I said, why am I the one in trouble with this? And I said, why are you so violent? And Christy's like, you just don't know how to handle me. And Jill goes, Christy Ray is a time bomb. And then this was funny. Christy and I were like, save it. You save it. No, you save it.
Well, like Christy Ray said about us earlier, talking about her or whatever, like we were like high school students.
Yeah.
What do you think this fight was?
Yes.
This was definitely like high school. Look at my eyes.
Yeah. Yes. And then I looked at her and I made my eyes really big and I said, I'm not looking away now, am I? And she goes, good. Now I taught you a lesson, which I actually thought was a good one.
Yes. I'm surprised you didn't have a comeback to that.
Yeah. Well, my only comeback was I said, yeah, you taught me how I don't want to behave. I should have had a better comeback. I was expecting
something like real smart ass.
Yeah, no, I didn't. But then we go out in the street and I'm like, it was so hot in there. And you go, we said one word to her and it got heated really quick. And I said, well, my word was bitch.
Well, I thought she was, how about me? I'm like, about fighting. And I'm like, I thought she was going to kick all of our asses.
Yeah. And I said, that's the second time this year somebody's threatened to beat my ass. And you said, maybe it's you. And I was like,
it is you.
It is me. And then we're like, where does Abby find all these psycho moms?
I don't know where they find them.
Oh, Brian specifically combs the nation. Like, are you unhinged? Come on, Dance Moms.
Are you a psycho mom?
Come fight with Christy and Kelly. It's a perfect place for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think my papers are screwed up again.
Okay.
What do you have next?
Us taking the kids to Telsey and Company. You're missing a whole page. Do you want me to talk about this page?
Good. Till I get to where I'm at, where my page is.
So we take the kids to Telsey and Company, which is, I say in my interview, that Caesar was the guy, the agent who came to the ALDC dance concert. And then I say, Abby only cares about Maddie, Mackenzie, and Asia. So you and I are going to take things into our own hands. And so we go into Telsey and Company. We're in the conference room with Chloe and Paige. And he tells them that he was impressed when he saw them dance. And then he's working on a project, which involves a 12-year-old girl. And he asks our kids to read it, for it.
Isn't that so convenient?
Yes. Well, what
they
was
just
really,
so happened to be working on something with the 12-year-old.
Right. But what was really funny is that you go, I think Paige is a really, Paige could be really good at acting. She was great at playing dead.
In the last, meanwhile, yes. I hated the last text.
I know, but it was
because
so
she didn't
funny.
Do anything. Yeah.
And then you go, people have always told me that Paige can light up a room. And I think that's a great trait for being on TV. And you go, who wants somebody miserable on television?
That would be Brooke.
No, that would be Abby on Dance Moms.
Or Brooke.
Yeah. So the girls read and Paige is excited. She's like, the script is cool. We go from happy to mad to sad. It's a challenge, but I like challenges.
I thought it was funny how Paige, when she was reading, goes over and hugs him. I think Paige hugged the guy 5 times on the 3 minutes that he was on the screen. I think she liked him. I think she was trying to brown nose him to get apart.
Maybe.
Meanwhile, she was all probably fake, you know?
But didn't he have a mohawk that she liked?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm like, I'm glad that we brought the girls to the audition, even if they didn't get the role, they thank us for coming. And then we go into the montage of us in New York City trying to find the bar.
Okay, I have this part. So we're talking to the bartender and you're asking him if he has, what do you say? Do you have a long Brooklyn punch?
I think I called it a Brooklyn punch instead of a Long Island iced tea.
I thought that was cute. He didn't put that on here, I don't think. And I thought that was cute. And you were like, you know, about how New Yorkers were rude, that everybody was being so nice to us. And
we were so loud and obnoxious.
We were obnoxious. And then how about all of a sudden, like we're sitting there and we're having all this fun. And we filmed that all afternoon. Remember?
Oh my God. Yes. When we were on the subway, this was so funny. And they didn't show it because there's Jamaica. There's a sign that says Jamaica and a train coming. And you're like, I want to go to Jamaica. Like, we had so much fun in that subway. They showed none of it.
They showed us getting to the bar and then they show the other moms coming in, which the other moms weren't there for that whole day.
No, but they got to come in. They got to come in a 15
pass. The fun part, yeah.
Yeah. Although, did you hear what I said? I said, hurry up, let's order them Diet Cokes.
Because that's what they all would order, definitely. Yeah. Holly and Melissa.
Yeah, Holly was funny though. I think Christy and Kelly have been at the bar a long time. They seem very happy.
Yeah. Holly really never saw us drunk because I didn't think we were that drunk.
No, but we were loud.
We were very loud, but I think we were trying to be that way because remember when we were filming this was going to be for like a little side thing.
Uh-huh.
So yes. I think we were really trying to
be fun.
We really weren't drinking. We were in the subway. We didn't.
Yeah.
We weren't at the bar. We had just got to the bar.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, we might have had a glass of wine or two before we left, but I think we were having fun.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought this part was really funny though, because I was like, you guys came by a taxi, and I was like, we're worried about getting lost and having to eat a bug.
And why I would have to eat a bug.
But it was something we said on the subway because we're like, oh my God, if we get lost down here, then what?
And we were like on Survivor or something.
Yes. And we're like, we're going to have to eat a bug. And then I was like, I just didn't want to eat a rat. And then Jill goes, a rat would have little meaty legs. I thought that was hysterical.
How about me? I'm like, I can't go an hour without eating. And that is so true. Everybody on the podcast knows that I'm constantly eating something.
And then Holly, I do want to remind you that a subway is not a rainforest or a jungle. It is an urban environment.
Well, how about Holly? That's because Holly's from New York.
I know.
So she's like standing up for it or whatever.
I know. We were just being funny.
I know. So we have to talk business. Can't be at the bar and just have fun. We have to ask about Christy
Ray. What do
you
think about Christy Ray?
And do we think she actually likes Abby's tough love?
Oh no.
And Jill's like, you know, she thinks It feels good to be in New York City without the kids. Mm-hmm. This is the team of moms. We stick together. We don't need Christy Ray.
Right.
And we toast to our team and, you know, to our great week in New York. And then we cut to Candy Apples. Nikki and Jalen are rehearsing with Anthony. And Kathy says that this duet portrays two magicians. One was formally trained and one was a street musician. Can't say that word.
Magician.
And she says, wouldn't it be nice if Anthony could just go hocus pocus and poof and Abby disappeared?
Yes.
I wish Anthony could do that because, you know, Anthony is not my favorite person.
Right.
But if he could do that, I just might like him a little bit.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So Anthony's giving feedback to the dancers and Kathy's talking to Jalen and, you know, Anthony starts getting frustrated and he stops talking and he tells, Kathy gets up and starts raising her voice and says that she's going to help out because they're in a time crunch. And Anthony and Kathy start fighting back and forth and Anthony tells Kathy to get out of his face and Kathy's telling Anthony that he's not to be condescending.
He can't help it.
No, he cannot. He's in his interview and he says that he gets upset with Kathy because she knows exactly what pushes his buttons.
Well, Kathy also knows that it's like, we're trying to film a show. We're on a time crunch. And so she's trying to like help.
And it's also Kathy's studio.
Absolutely.
And he would not be on the show if, you know, Kathy's team wasn't having him there. So
absolutely.
So Nikki and Jalen, they're running their routine and Anthony and Rick, Jalen's dad, they start arguing now and they can't agree on whether Jalen is doing the move correctly or not. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I don't know why Jalen's dad would
be
like, I mean, can you imagine us going up to a choreographer saying that they're doing a move wrong? That I think was insulting, but right. I'm not crazy about that guy either.
No.
So Kathy interjects and she takes Anthony aside and starts talking to him. And Anthony's like, this is my kingdom when I'm in the studio.
Gag.
Yes. And Anthony says to Kathy that he doesn't appreciate all the distractions when he's trying to be creative and do his artistic work. Kathy starts crying. Anthony insists that he did not intend to hurt her feelings. And Kathy offers him some advice and says that she's old enough to be Anthony's mom. And she looks at him and just says, honey gets bees. And I agree with that.
Yeah. But also, I guess Anthony took a page out of the Abby book because in her studio, she's God. And in this studio, it's his kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Meanwhile, they're both assholes. So. My opinion.
Yeah.
Take your kingdom and God and go
and shove it up your ass.
Yeah. So then they show Jalen and his dad talking in the stairwell. Jalen's crying. His dad's, you know, giving him some words of encouragement and he reminds him that they can leave anytime Jalen wants. Mm-hmm. They must not have the same contract as us.
No, they must not.
Rick promises not to speak up as long as Jalen stands up for himself. And then we're in the studio again and Kathy tells the team, she talks to the team before she dismisses them. Rick, Jalen's dad, says he hopes that Jalen can just get a little wand and shut up Anthony.
Yeah, me too.
And then Anthony picks up Jalen and makes Jalen look at him and gives him a little fist bump.
Okay.
Then we're back at the ALDC.
Woo!
And we're doing Kendall's solo. Which is hands up. Abby's, you know, doing her solo rehearsal and gets upset because she's marking her routine. Like, I think she goes to do like a grand jeté or something and she marked it. Some kind of jump or something she does. And Abby like, is like,
loses her mind.
Yes. She's like, at the end of rehearsal. Yeah. Here she says, Kendall marked a leap so she wouldn't slip. And Abby insists that since Brooke was able to do everything full out, that so should Kendall. Oh my, Abby said something nice about Brooke.
Yeah,
holy
really.
Holy
manoli. Oh my God, wow.
I should write that down.
Mark it.
Oh yeah, I'm marking that. So Kendall starts crying and Jill says, when does Abby not pick on Kendall? Abby has to understand that she can't keep hurting Kendall's feelings. and expect her to do her best.
Yeah, that's the point. That's what we all say.
Yes. So Holly and Melissa are trying to make Jill understand that Abby's just hard on Kendall because she likes Kendall. And Jill says she knows that Kendall needs to focus and not let Abby, you know, get to her. So now we're at the dance studio and Abby starts explaining to Jill how she addressed Kendall this week, but Abby refuses to acknowledge that she even yelled at Kendall.
Ugh. And Kendall's just staring at her nervously.
Yeah. And Abby asks her if Kendall would like to say anything, and Kendall just stares at her. Like, no, I'm not going to say anything.
What was Kendall going to say? Yeah, you're a bitch.
Shit, we still got a lot to go.
Just one page.
My pages are so screwed up. Are we at Candy Apples rehearsal now?
Well, right. But first Jill says, Abby insists that Kendall should be grateful that she has a soul. And then she goes to Kendall, I'll never say your name again. I'll never say it to a casting agent. I'll never say it to director. I'll never say it again. Fine. Now we're at Candy Apples.
I had an extra page in here. So Jalen and Vivi, again, they have them in the hallway. They're trying to fix those.
Yeah, it's weird.
So Jalen and Vivi are talking about the rehearsals and they ask each other like different questions and they're talking about working with Anthony and they're like, he yells a lot.
Yeah.
And Jalen tells Vivian about what happened when he left the room during the duet rehearsal and he needed to take time to cool off before he went back into rehearsal. And Vivi starts talking about Porter that she found on the floor.
I'm dead. Vivi, give her own show. I'd watch it all day.
She's just hysterical.
I would watch a Vivi show all day long.
I need to meet up with Vivi and see how she is now.
Let's get Vivi on the podcast.
We should, because
let's get her on.
I want to see if her like personality and demeanor is still the same.
Let's get Vivi on the show. I know she'll come on.
Okay. Kathy takes her students to the Winter Garden Theater to meet with people from Mamma Mia. Mm-hmm. And Kathy and all of her students are sitting in the audience. Two of the cast members come over, Judy and Zach, and they tell everybody that they're in Mamma Mia and that it's been running for 11 years. And they offer to give them a backstage tour. They show everybody the backstage tour, the dressing room. They bring them onto the actual stage and they show how it's like a raked stage. Mm-hmm. And they're explaining to them how it's like the stage on an incline.
Right. That so they can be seen.
They told them to try to dance on it. And I think that would be hard.
Yes, I do agree. I think it's hard to dance on a cruise ship.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think that would definitely be hard to get used to.
Well, you know, this is one cute thing that Abby used to do with the kids in New York. Whenever we would do a tour of a Broadway show, is she always would tell them to do a pas de bourrée on the stage so that they could say they danced on a Broadway stage.
Yeah.
I thought that was cute.
Yeah. Like, the kids love to do that.
Yeah.
They usually always went backstage and stuff. Mm-hmm. And saw the dressing rooms and
costumes and how they were on the show.
Yeah.
Like this
90% of it was before the show.
Yeah. Well, because Abby usually had somebody on Broadway that would take the kids back.
That we would go see. Yeah.
All right. So how many drinks did you need to make it through this section of the episode?
I was okay on this one.
I might have needed one for the Christy Ray fight.
Yeah.
All right. What about pyramid for mom outfits? Anybody stand out?
Your mom jeans, I guess.
My mom jeans, yeah.
Even though I didn't see them, I know they were bad.
They were. I'm going to say misdemeanors or felonies for me. I would say the felony for calling Christy Ray a bitch. I'm looking at you, bitch. Like, that was unnecessary. I could have just been like, I'm looking at you now, you know?
But did I do anything wrong?
Oh, and also a misdemeanor because we were talking shit on Maddie not skating.
Yeah, I'll say that.
Okay.
I'll say that. Even though I didn't mean that to be mean.
No.
I meant that as she's a perfectionist. That's why she didn't want to do it. But it sounded mean the way they put it on there.
Right. What about your favorite quote from the episode?
I got a couple marked on here. Somewhere in this mess. When Kathy says that if Abby puts ice skates on, it could be Fantasia 2.
Yeah. I liked Maddie and Mackenzie are still at the top of Abby's mental pyramid.
And I liked what I said. I think it's official. Kathy's definitely a stalker.
Yep. Oh, I have Fantasia too, marked. I'm just looking. Oh, I also liked, I mean, what did you do while the kids were ice skating? Did you maybe go to dinner?
Yeah. Funny. Yeah. I have, when I said, you know, because, you know, I can't go hours without eating.
Oh, I loved when Jill said a rat would have meaty little legs. That was so funny.
And when you said, hurry up, let's order them some Diet Cokes.
Yeah, that's funny too.
Oh, and I think my favorite was, wouldn't it be nice if Anthony could just go hocus pocus and poof and make Abby disappear?
Amen. All right, we're going to head over to the after party. We will be back next week with the second half of this episode. Thank you guys for listening. We love you. XOXO. Anything else, Kel?
Shoot me.
Bye.
Hey, do we got them guns left over from this?
Yeah, exactly. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Back to the Bar.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you love to listen to your podcasts.
And check out our YouTube channel, Back to the Bar, if you want to watch the episodes. The channel is linked in our show notes.
And if you want to join our weekly after party,
where we dish even more dirt,
like naked pizza, Kel. Subscribe to our Patreon channel at patreon.com/backtothebar. See you next time.
See you next time.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.